It should be fun. If you love Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
All right.
I got to use this microphone. Tonight I want to talk about how we can grow as Christians, and if we take the steps that we can to get close to Jesus, that we can receive all the blessings that he has for us and love in our lives. Someone once asked me, what do I like about coming to Open Door Baptist Church? I told him that, after I thought about it for a minute, that first of all, we have a pastor that loves God and wants to follow God and wants to teach us his word, and that if we want to grow, we can. It's up to us. You can't say that about a lot of churches nowadays, so it's a good thing. I'm going to be in the in John, in chapter 10, focusing mostly on verse 27, but I'm going to be reading through 30. I might be moving kind of fast at times because I got a lot to get through here, and I don't want to go over if I can help it. Okay, John 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. A few years ago when I started soul winning, I was out with Travis one day, and he showed me these verses, and he said that it helped him a lot. And I started using these verses as I started speaking to me as I was leading people to Christ, and they were accepting Christ, and I was showing them these verses as once you're saved, that you can't lose your salvation. You got the Holy Spirit in your heart. You're not only in Jesus' hands; you're in God's hands. But that's just the beginning. That's just being saved is the start of the Christian life. God has so much more for us than that. And he says if we follow him that we can grow. If we follow him and listen to his voice and follow him that we can grow and we can have victory over sin in our lives. The title of my message is To Hear and Then Follow. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for blessing my life. Thank you for leading me and helping me to grow, Lord. And for helping me to preach and to get ready to preach, Lord, and prepare this message. And I know there was a reason for it, Father, that you wanted to preach this, Lord. And I just pray that it make this message clear, and that if there's somebody out there that's struggling and need your help, Lord, that they would hear this and turn to you and hear your voice and follow your words, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. This message is for Christians that accept Christ and that are already saved and that they know they're going to heaven for sure. But if there's anybody out there that doesn't know this, the Bible says you can know for sure. It says these things that I've written unto you that believeth on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It says you can know for sure. So if there's anybody out there that doesn't know for sure, before you leave tonight, I just pray that you get a hold of one of us. You can talk to Pastor or myself or somebody else that can show you God's word and you can know for sure before you leave tonight. If you're already saved, and the Bible says that we're a new creature in Christ. Just a second, my notes are messed up here a little bit. Ooh, I'm missing a page. Okay. What did I do? Oh, here it is. Once we're saved, we are a new creature in Christ. That the old man has passed away, that we can walk in newness of life, it says in Romans. It's a choice that we have to make to walk in newness of life, to follow God. And if we get close to Jesus, if we take the steps that it takes to have a close relationship with him, that we can hear his voice and we can follow him and we can grow and get all the blessings he has for us. Right now, I just want to talk a little bit. I don't have a lot of time, but just a little bit of my testimony that that led me here before to Open Door Baptist Church. From the time I can remember until I was about 10 years old, I was attending a Baptist church just off and on. And I learned about Jesus, I learned about God and stories in the Bible, and I just felt God in my life as I was that young. But I had bad influences in my life. I stopped going to church. My parents really weren't really, and my dad never went to church. Most of my family didn't go that much. I remember going to vacation Bible school and Sunday school, and I just learned that Jesus died for my sins and things. I ended up leaving the church because I had bad influences and I wanted to party and, you know, live life. And I felt a little guilty. I remember feeling guilty, and I was getting in trouble at the time with police and was at school and things. I had somebody try to do an intervention with me or whatever. My mom took me to a pastor or whatever, and without even talking to me, he just said, "Repeat after me," and he gave me the sinner's prayer, and I repeated after him. But my heart wasn't ready. It wasn't right, and I knew I wasn't ready to follow him. I did understand salvation, I think, but I don't believe. I'm not sure if I got saved. I left that meeting with feeling bad, and I kind of prayed to God, and I told him that I wasn't ready to follow him, but I would come back to him someday when I was ready to give him my life. And then I began to just walk down the wrong path. Several years later, I met my wife when I was 22. She was also raised in a Baptist church. She was a reborn Christian that was also hadn't been to church in a while, was backsliding. Together, we raised three children. Unfortunately, one of my biggest regrets, we didn't raise them in church. It's something that I always regret and still trying to reach them. My youngest son got accepted Christ here about a year ago or so. I'm not sure exactly how long it was. That was a blessing. My other kids live in California. It's really hard to reach them, but I talk to them when I can. But my wife and I, we were living wrong, and we were living in sin, and because of that, our lives, we had a lot of problems. We had problems with our marriage. We had problems with our finances. We were homeless a couple times. The last time was in 2005. I hurt my back on a temp job, and it wasn't reported, and I lost my job, and couldn't work for almost a year. I had surgery, and all this time we had talked about our beliefs with each other. We had talked about going back to church someday, but we didn't want to give up our lifestyle. We ended up in a shelter up here in Federal Way, and eventually in apartments Appian Way. And looking back at it, I think we were led there so we could be reached by the right people. While we were there almost 3 years. While we were there, a tract was left on our door. We read the tract. We liked what it said. We said, "This sounds like a church we'd like to go to," even though it wasn't the closest one to our house. There was another one we were also thinking about. But we didn't want to give up our lives yet, so that track sat around for a year as we kept going on the same paths. It got worse. For a while there, I was working pretty steady, but then I lost my job. I'm a painter, and it's pretty seasonal, and I couldn't work. I wasn't working enough, and it affected our lives. We started doing more drugs and drinking and just not living right. And it came to a point where we were having a lot of problems, and it looked like it could affect our marriage. So I made the choice that I didn't want to do any more drugs. I said, "I'm not going to do them again." I even wrote it on my calendar, still on there today to remind me. Every year I remark it on there. That was, along with other things that I've marked on there, including the day that we first walked into Open Door Baptist Church, which was 2 weeks later. It was March 8th, 2009, 5 years ago yesterday. We didn't know what to expect, but we walked in, and right away we felt pretty comfortable. You know, we sat down, and pastor started preaching, and he was preaching to us. He was preaching on our sins, and some of you have probably felt that before. and the Lord was speaking to us and speaking to me for sure, and I know he was also speaking to my wife. And at the end of the message, Pastor gave the plan of salvation, asked if there was anybody here that didn't know for sure that they could pray with him to themselves. And I accepted Christ that day and had assurance of salvation. Things started to change right away. Within a month, I got baptized here and I committed myself and publicly to a Christian life and started to grow. Excuse me. I started to grow and things in my life started to change. And I'd just like to share some of those things with you, not because I'm trying to be, it's all about me or anything, but the message is about hearing God's voice, following him and growing if you listen. And God was speaking to me at the time. And at the time, some of the things I didn't really realize it, but looking back on it, some of these decisions I made a big difference in my life and really made a big difference on how I grew and how fast I grew and how I got to know God. Again, let me find the right notes. I got too many pages here. Okay, here it is. One of the first things I started doing is coming to church on Sunday, every Sunday. 5 years, I've missed 3 days. Two of the days we were on vacation, I went to another church. And one of the days I was in the hospital overnight. That was important. Coming to church, you got to be in a good church, first of all, that where you're really hearing God's word and God's, in order for God to speak to you. You have to have a pastor that loves God and also follows him and can lead you in the, and preaches out of the Bible and is led by God himself. One of the next things was coming on Sunday nights. That started right away. We were catching a ride on the shuttle. And then eventually on midweek, it might have took a couple of months. It took a little longer. But before I knew it, I was coming to as many services as I could because I didn't want to, I was afraid I was going to miss something and it was going to keep me from growing more. I started reading my Bible daily. That was a big thing. That was a big point of me growing the first year. I read my Bible all the way through and I remember marking a couple pages of things that stuck, that God showed me in the Bible so I could find them again. Pastor preached on, about that time, I started going to a Bible study at Brian Davis's house. Most of you know him. He used to be our assistant pastor here. And Dave was also there most of the time, and Mark. And just being around those men of God that were influences in my life, as well as our pastor and others in the church, really helped me to grow. Being able to ask them questions that I had a lot of questions. And then about that time, Pastor started, he preached a sermon on tithing. At the time, we didn't have that much money coming in. We still really don't. And we felt it was time to start giving God his 10% or more. I remember making the statement I'd given the devil enough money over the years. It was time to give God some back, too. And then about the same time, Brian, he was a big soul winner. I've never seen anybody that could teach people the Bible as well as he did. And he started talking to me about going out with him. And I really wanted to see people get saved. I wanted to see how it worked. I didn't want to do it myself at the time. I just wanted to go out and see it, And I spent a lot of time with Brian before I actually did anything other than watching him and learning how he did it. I got the nerve up to pass out a tract and invite somebody to church. And then I'd pass them over to Brian, and he'd witness to him. After months of praying, studying, and memorizing verses, and through lots of support from Pastor Travis, Brian, and others in the church, I began to give the gospel out myself and ask people if they knew they were going to heaven when they died. And I started seeing people get saved. Yeah. It's an awesome thing. The Bible says the angels rejoice over one soul that gets saved. And I think we should too. And it's helped me to grow probably more than anything else besides maybe praying and having a close relationship through prayer with God is really important also. But we're commanded to do it. It's a commandment, and I know it's a lot of people think they can't do it, but if anybody wants to ever go out, I mean, it's, you don't have to step right up and learn it all at once. It's a process, but it's real rewarding. Going to prayer breakfast regularly and praying out loud, that was another hard one for me. It still is. Learning to pray, I mean, it was a while, and I still have problems, but when you step up and you do something that's hard for you, and you're not trusting your own abilities, but for God to lead you, that's how you grow. Talking to family members and others about the Bible and Jesus, helping out and getting involved in things that need to be done around the church and helping people in the church. Taking notes on sermons and studying during the week. I just started doing that recently, last few months or something, and I got a bad memory. I mean, I'd hear a sermon, and then Monday I wouldn't remember what it was about. So I started taking notes the last few months, and then during the week I can study them, and I can learn from them and remember, and I can look up the verses, and it's helped me a lot also. And finally, after Holy Spirit working on me for several years, planning and preaching this message, which I never thought I could do. Brian used to bug me for a couple of years. Every time a preaching, men's preaching night came up, are you going to preach? Are you going to preach? I said, I'm not a preacher. It's not my thing. I can't do that. I mean, I get nervous in front of people. And you know, it's true. All through school, you know, speech class, and I was in drama for a while and things, debate and stuff. It was really hard for me. I struggled with it. But what we have to remember, it's not through our abilities. Most of these things I did not come easy for me. Some of them on my own would have been impossible. But once you accept Jesus, you're not on your own. God's with you, and he can lead you if you listen to him, if you follow him, if you obey him. 5 years ago, I probably couldn't imagine doing any of these things. No, I just want to go over verse 27, John 10, verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So what does it mean to be God's sheep? I'm going to look at John 10, 28. Says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For one thing, being God's sheep, it means you're saved. It means you're going to heaven. You have eternal life. Amen. You're not lost anymore. It's assurance of salvation. It's the beginning of the Christian life. And God has so much more for us than that. But if that's all he gave us, it would be great. But he wants to give us so much more. He wants to bless our lives. He wants to give us treasures in heaven. John 10, 7 through 11. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He wants to give you life more abundantly. He wants to bless you. He wants to watch over you. He wants to protect you. It makes me think of Psalms 23, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. You can turn there or if you want. I'm not going to read the whole thing right yet, but it says, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That sounds pretty good. Green pastures, you're not laying in sticker bushes and not laying by a raging river. You're in a peaceful place. He wants you to be at peace. He wants to lead you to a good place. He restoreth my soul. Well, wow, what does that mean? What's your soul? It's your mind and your thoughts. I know when I wasn't serving God and I was living in sin, there were some bad things going through my mind, and I was thinking about some bad things. Even after I got saved, it was I had to get closer to God to get those things out of my head. I had to look to God for strength and wisdom and to turn away from those things and to pray to Him to take those thoughts out of my head. I still struggle every now and then, especially when I look back at my old life and I'm reminded of the way I used to live. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. That sounds pretty good too. I know when I wasn't saved, I was going down the wrong path. I was making all kinds of wrong turns. I was living for myself, living for pleasure I could get for whatever, however quickly it would pass and how whatever. He wants to lead you in the right path. He wants to deliver you from evil and teach you what righteousness is. He wants to protect you and save you and all the good things that come with it. That's the first point. I got three more. I hope I have time here for this. My sheep hear my voice. Hear my voice. Turn to John 10:24. John 2 through 4. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It says that you'll know his voice. It's places in the world, there's big pastures with several flocks of sheep, and they have several three shepherds or so, and they can all be calling their flocks at the same time, and those sheep know whose voice to follow. They know where to go. They recognize the voice of their shepherd. That's the way Jesus is for us. We recognize his voice when we hear it. In the Bible, it talks about several people that God spoke to clearly out loud. Of course, Adam and Abraham and Moses and probably Noah. And it talks about Samuel. Samuel was just a small boy living with Eli, his teacher, and he hadn't really known the word of God yet, but he went to bed and he heard somebody calling him. So he kept going into Samuel's room, and Samuel said, Eli said, "I didn't call you, go back to bed." And it happened like two or three times, and the last time Eli realized that it was God calling him, and he told him to go back and to answer. Most of the time that doesn't happen in our lives. Of course, God could speak to us that way if he wants to, but God speaks to you in different ways. I know in my life, looking back on it, the time that I recognized the most that God was speaking to me was when I was getting the closest to him, usually through prayer, and then praying for wisdom for when I'm reading my Bible, and not just reading it, but for a long time all we did, my wife and I read our Bibles together, many times together, and we're not really studying it, we're just reading it, but if you get alone and just pray for wisdom and read your Bible, and God will speak to you and show you what you need to know in it. Turn to Hebrews 3:15. No, I got it here somewhere. By the way, I just got this new Bible. I lost mine that I had since I've been coming here, and it was hard for me. I was used to it, and Dave lovingly got me this new Bible, and it's great. It's a study Bible. It's really helped me a lot, and I can't wait till I can spend more time in it. Hebrews 3:15. Where am I at here? It says, "While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation." We have a choice. We have a choice to, like I said in the beginning, we have a choice in whether we want to walk in newness of life, whether we want to seek God, seek Jesus. Hear and do what it takes to get close to him, to hear his voice, to follow him, to listen and to grow. Or we can harden our hearts to him. Maybe he's telling us something we don't want to hear. Maybe it's going to be hard. And I know that feeling. I mean, I've had that right now. It's taken me a long time to follow him at times. But if you harden your heart to him, bad things can happen. You start backsliding. You start following the needs of your flesh and not him. We've heard Pastor preach on it before, the struggle between your flesh and the Spirit of God in you, and they fight back and forth, and you have to choose one or the other to hopefully choose to listen to the Spirit of God in you so you can turn to Him so He can give you the strength to overcome your flesh and your sin in your life. And so the last thing you want to do is harden your heart to God and go back into sin. That's point two. Point three is I know them. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. Turn to Isaiah 66:18. It says, "For I know their works and their thoughts." It says a little more, but that's what I'm focusing on right there. It says He knows everything about us. He knows every thought we have, everything that we do. We can't hide from God. It's pretty self-explanatory, really. I mean, He knows everything we're going to do the rest of our life. That's why He can save us from all of our sins for the rest of our life. He knows. It says He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows everything about us. We can't hide anything. He knows us better than we know ourselves. I mean, there's been times in my life where I doubted I could do something. But God knows I can do it. I mean, that's why we have to have faith and follow Him. Amen. We have to trust that He knows us better than we know ourselves, and He's not going to lead us to something that's going to hurt us. He only wants good things for us. So you have to have faith. And what is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You have to follow, though we don't know where or why. And that's point three. I'm going to go to point four. They follow me, my sheep, knowing that we're His sheep, knowing that we hear His voice, or that we can hear His voice, and knowing that He knows us and that He wants us to follow Him. Matthew 4:19. And He saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Amen. What does that mean, fishers of men? It means, what did Jesus come to the earth in the flesh for? God in the flesh, what did He come for? He came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. Talking about soul winning, Amen. It's a commandment. He wants us to follow after Him. He wants us, as He taught His disciples, that He was, when He was leaving, the Comforter was going to come, but He needed us to teach and to continue to show how much He loved us and that we can trust in Him, that He died for our sins. That's an amazing thing. And it's important. I don't know if anything will help you grow more, like I said, other than, you know, possibly prayer and just getting as close to you as you can as God. But once I started seeing people get saved, first of all, I mean, I couldn't get enough. It was great. I mean, you see people sometimes crying and weeping in front of you. I mean, once they realize that you have the truth and that their sins are gone and they accept Christ. I mean, there's just unfortunately, I don't see enough people after they accept Christ. It's hard to get them to church, but just seeing that you can, most of the time you can see, not always, but you can see that they get it. You know, if you give them a clear message, they can. It changes their lives, and it can change your life too if you just are faithful and follow God in this. Matthew 8:19-27. I'm almost done. Make sure I got the right one here. Okay, Matthew 8:19-27. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And Jesus saith unto him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have a nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And another of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." But Jesus said unto him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead, their dead." And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye little of faith? O ye O ye of little faith, I'm sorry. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Know who he is. He's and have faith and trust in him. I mean, he's God, he can do anything. And all he wants to do, I mean, we're here for his pleasure, but he wants to please us also. He wants to give us so much, and he just wants us to be faithful and trusting in him. I looked up the word following in the Webster's Dictionary. I just think it's kind of interesting in how it applies. Tell me if this sounds like it applies to following God at all. To go or come after, to pursue, to obey, to proceed along, to engage as a way of life, to come after in order or rank or natural sequence, to keep one's attention fixed on. Now, I think God would want us to engage in as a way of life, Jesus in our life, and to keep our attention fixed on him. I believe that's biblical. And of course, to pursue and to obey and to follow him. And if you do all these things, what's the result for your life? Again, I have to turn to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. That sounds pretty good. I don't know if I was walking down Pack Highway here on a Friday night about midnight, I'd like to have God with me. And I know that's not that bad, but there's worse things in the world. But his rod and his staff, they protect me. I lost my place here. He leadeth me beside the door. Hold on. Let me start over. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want that in my life. I don't know about you. Amen. And that's all I got for you. Thank you very much.